Blog Talk Radio.
Is David Price ruining your night? Because he's ruined mine, and it's only 8:15. Not to mention I have technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio, which is probably about the 15th time, but I'm done bitching for now. My name is David Kerr from FantasySquads.com, at AskRotoBaseball on Twitter, and I'm here to talk some fantasy baseball with you tonight. Always seems to be a problem sometimes, but that's all right. I'm in a good mood. I'm happy, and we're going to talk some fantasy baseball. With me tonight is Jason Catania from Bleacher Report. Please tell me you're on the line, Jason.
David, I am here.
It
took a while, but we figured it out, I guess.
Oh, my God. You aren't kidding. Well,
miracles.
I don't even want to get into it. Yeah, but anyway, so we're here and we're going to talk some fantasy baseball with you. We have some things to discuss. If you're not following along, David Price is getting just absolutely destroyed tonight. He's given up 8 earned runs, and that's no good for anybody, especially if you're playing daily fantasy sports. So that's got me hot. I'm in a bad mood about that, but you know, there's nothing we can do. His ownership was high, at least. So, you know, we can go with that. But anyway, glad to have you, Jason. Glad to have you on the show. You write for BleacherReport.com. You've been a guest on the show before. How can people follow you on Twitter? And then also tell everybody a little bit about what you do over at Bleacher Report.
Yes, sir. My Twitter is at jcat11, at jaycat11. I've been with Bleacher Report the last few years now. Prior to that, Fangraphs. Prior to that, ESPN magazine and online. So a lot of sports stuff. And as far as Bleacher Report now, I write real and fake baseball all the time. So it gives me a good understanding of what's going on, and whether it's prospects to Miguel Cabrera. So I try to stay on top of everything, and I think fantasy is a really good way to keep a track of the real-life stuff, but obviously tonight we'll be focusing on the fantasy end.
Yeah, absolutely. So glad to have you on the show. There's plenty of stuff to talk about. We're a couple weeks into the season, and you know, we've seen some things happen. We've seen some slow starts. We've seen some hot starts. We've seen some pitchers get shelled. We've seen some breakout pitchers, so to speak, so far. So there's lots to talk about. And I want to start with a guy. I'm going to talk about some players first, and then we'll get into some other stuff, you know, that's going on right now. But the first guy I want to talk about is a guy that I touted heavily this offseason. In fact, on this very show, I made a bold prediction that he would be better than a superstar teammate of his from a fantasy perspective. He would be better than a superstar teammate of his this year, and vault into first round talk next season. That's Starling Marte of the Pirates. He's crushed the Brewers this season. A lot of his big time numbers have came while playing the Brewers, but he's hit 4 home runs in the last 5 games, not counting tonight, and in that span has 10 RBIs with a couple of steals. Now, this is exactly what we want from Starling Marte. Now, he strikes out a lot. We know that. He doesn't take a lot of walks. We know that, too. But he's a guy that's going to give you power, and I predicted over 20 home runs this year. I think the power's for real. He's already got 5 for the first couple of weeks of the season. Do I think he can hit 15 the rest of the way? Absolutely. This is a guy that's grown into his body. He's a guy that's gonna blossom big time. The average, I think, is going to rise. He's hitting 224 right now. That's going to rise throughout the season. But, you know, if we can get a guy here that goes 20, 30, or even 20, 40, we could be looking at one of the next fantasy baseball superstars, so to speak. What are your thoughts on Starling Marte, Jason?
Look, I like the guy. I think, for me, he's still – I don't know. I think he's still an outfielder two for me. I think that the potential to be an OF1 is there. You know, I was digging under some of his numbers, the underlying stats. The BABIP is obviously low. It was below 200, which is explaining why he's hitting so low. So that will come up. I agree with you there. The home run to fly ball rate at last check was 50%. So basically, he hits two fly balls. One of them's going out. That's not going to sustain. I think at this point, he does have the pop to hit 20 home runs, and I think the fact that he's got five already is a good start. I think he could get there. But I would sort of think if I'm buying him in terms of trading for him, I'm looking more for the steals. I think he's still, you know, at end of the season going to have more steals than home runs. He might be closer than we thought, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago before the season. I think that, you know, he's a very, very good player. I don't know that he's a first-round talent for me coming into next season. I still want to see if this power is going to be legitimate all season long.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a good jump on the power this year. I just think at his age, his pedigree, that, I mean, he's only 26 years old. He's going to be entering his prime years. So I think that 20 home runs is a number that he's going to hit this year. And maybe he won't have as many steals this year. He does have two so far this year. He's 2 for 3 in stolen base attempts. We want to see more out of Marte with the speed, because you know that's what we were really looking at him for. It was the speed. But the power has been a nice grab, and you know, once the weather heats up, I think, and the Pirates offense really starts rolling, we're looking at a guy that I'm a big fan, and that's just not because I'm a Pirates fan. I really believe in Starling Marte, and I think he's going to do big things for the Pirates and fantasy owners alike. So, we'll move on here and hit our next player. Nelson Cruz is the next guy I want to talk about. The guy, you know, coming into this season, Jay, you know, he was a guy that kind of fell in drafts because he said, well, he's moving from Baltimore to Seattle. And I was kind of in that camp, I will admit. But he's ballpark proof at this point with the power. And he has 8 home runs on the season, kills left-handed pitching, especially mediocre left-handers. If you play DFS and Nelson Cruz is up against a mediocre left-hander, he's a must-play. Regardless of salary, he absolutely obliterates mediocre left-handers. He did it on Sunday to the tune of 2 home runs. So keep that in mind as we move forward. What are your thoughts on Nelson Cruz? And you agree with me that the power not only is for real, but it doesn't really matter where he's playing. He's going to hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah, no, I do agree for the most part. I don't know that he's going to get to 40 again like he did last year. I do think that at some point the ballpark will a little bit catch up to him. Of course, he got off to the huge start last year and then dropped off a little bit in the second half, especially power-wise. You know, I mean, I'm looking at his underlying stats. He has a home run to fly ball rate that is much more palatable or amenable to his career. It's at 27.6, which is right around where guys who usually lead the league in a year are. So he's not way out of character there. The only thing that I'm a little bit looking at twice is the fact that he's got a 64.4% fly ball rate. So he's hitting them out at a reasonable rate, but he's just hitting the ball in the air way more than ever. It's about 40% for his career. So if that starts to tilt, we'll see fewer home runs, but that said, I think he'll hit 30, probably 35 in that range. For me, as good of an OF2 as you can get, he's got OF1 potential if the batting average can stay around where it is now.
Well, I expect a dip in average, obviously, but this is a guy with a super high ISO for his career. I mean, he's a 236 ISO. I mean, his isolated power is crazy. And it always has been. You know, this is the first year that he's really been out of a hitter's ballpark, and he's started off the season very well. He's a guy that's going to strike out. We know that. He will draw a few walks. We know that. But you know, he's not going to overwhelm you with the walks. But he makes up for it with the power. He's a lock to stay healthy. He's a lock for 30 home runs this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to say that on April 22nd, assuming he stays healthy. You know, if he misses 2 months or something with an injury, obviously that goes out the window. But assuming he stays healthy, he's going to be a guy that hits 30 home runs this year. And if you scooped him up in your league because he fell, more power to you. That's good stuff. You know, he struggled for or he didn't struggle, but you may have struggled with, drafting him this year because of the ballpark factor. And obviously, to date, it hasn't mattered very much as we watched him club a couple home runs on Sunday against Texas. So Nelson Cruz off to a hot start, and, you know, if you grab them, good on you. Next guy to talk about here is Luis Valbuena from the Houston Astros. He started off the season pretty well too, especially in the power department. The question here, Jay, will he sustain all season long? He's been hitting fourth in the Astros lineup. What do you think about Valbuena, Luis Valbuena, going forward?
I like him. I think it's not, you know, the pace that he's on sustainable power-wise, but, you know, he did hit 16 last year in less than 500 plate appearances, to give you an idea. So I think he could crack 20. I like him, you know, in leagues where he's eligible at second base, which is, I think, most of them. I like him as sort of a sneaky power play at second base. And I think, you know, to sort of speak to the daily fantasy folks out there, this is a guy who has 44 of his 50 career homers against righties. He's a lefty hitter, and his batting average is pretty much the same either way. So if it's facing a righty, he's a good play to get, you know, throw in there. Maybe he'll pop a home run or two, as we've seen so far.
Okay, yeah. Valbuena is a guy with some potential based on where he's batting in the Astros batting order. He's batting cleanup for them. And here's the thing. They have started the season as a team batting .204 batting mm-hmm. average as a team. But we know that that's not going to last all year. This is a team that is hot or cold at the plate. They showed it last year. We know that they strike out a lot. They're going to have a lot of power. And whenever they do, whenever they do turn things on, we're going to see guys, you know, we're going to see a lot of runs scored. And Valbuena can be right in the heart of that. He's batting .244 this season, 5 home runs, 7 RBIs. You know, he's shown the ability to hit for power in the past, so we know that. But you know, last year he had 16 home runs. He walked 65 times. That's worth noting too. Mm-hmm. 113 strikeouts. That was for the Cubs. Playing, you know, it's 16 home runs of 478 plate appearances. This is a guy that could definitely hit 20 this year with daily playing time. And it seems like at this point the Astros are going to roll with him. So he's been one of the only guys that's really been hitting on the team, even though he's only hitting .244. So Valbuena, you know, in 12 team leagues, I'm adding him right now because of the power. And he can go through some hot stretches. If you're in an on base league, I think he's a solid on base guy too. He's gonna draw some walks. 9 strikeouts, 5 walks this year. He's a temporary add for me. I don't know if he's going to last all team on a or all season on a 12 team league. Anything deeper than that, he will. But on a standard 12 team league, you know, I'm not sure if he's going to last all season. But he should definitely be on your radar and on your squad right now.
Lorenzo, I will add real quick. I will grab real quick that for some reason, I don't know why this is. I had it in my head that he stole some bases occasionally. He's got 7 in his career, so you're adding him strictly for the potential of the 20 home runs. So if you want him as a second baseman, you're not getting any speed. Just I'll throw that out there. For some reason in my head, I thought of him as a guy who might steal 8, but I don't think that's happening.
Nah, he's more of a value play at times. You know, for me, you know, as a fill-in guy more than anything
mm-hmm.
else.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want him as my starting second baseman or third baseman, but as a fill-in guy, you know, with injuries, he's a fine option based on power alone. So I'm good with that. good with Valbuena. Lorenzo Cain's the next guy I want to talk about. You know, based on the first couple of weeks of the season, it may be that we are looking at a guy that's going to have a big time breakout. Last year, last year he had five home runs and 28 RBIs while batting .301. You know, this year he's off to a big solid start. Four steals, two home runs. He's batting .380. Obviously, that's not going to sustain, but shown the ability to hit for a high average. Last season, and you know, based on what we've seen early on, you know, we may be looking at a guy that, can consistently hit, you know, 290 to 300 every year. What are your thoughts on Lorenzo Cain's hot start, Jay?
Yeah, look, I think I still have questions about him, but I'm sort of cautiously optimistic that we might be seeing a little bit of a late bloomer breakout. I mean, obviously, the story is always that he's, you know, didn't take up baseball until what, he was in high school or thereabouts. So he's sort of, you know, 5 years behind normal players or even longer in terms of, like, just their career, their life arc as a baseball player. You know, I was a little bit worried about him last year, this year coming in, because he did have a 380 BABIP last season, which helped his average be over 300. I didn't know that he would sustain that. It's at 415 now, so obviously it's high. But again, this is a guy who's fast, so he might just be a guy who has 350, 360, 370 BABIPs and be able to maintain it. Again, I think sort of like Marte, I'm buying the speed more than the power here. I think he probably tops out around 12 to 15 home runs. I think he could do that, though. The real question is, can he actually take the next step and be a 30 steal guy? Because if he's going to be 12, 15 homers and 30 plus steals, you know, that's going to be a very valuable asset, and we might be seeing that happen.
Yeah, you know, he's batting in a good spot in that Kansas City lineup. I like the term you use there, late bloomer. I think that may be what we're looking at with Lorenzo Cain. 29 years old, showed signs of a solid breakout last season. Like his strikeout-to-walk ratio this year, eight strikeouts, six walks, that's solid. He's going to steal 20 bags, 20, 25 bags. And if we could see the home runs bump maybe into the 10 to 12 range, I think we're looking at a really solid season out of Lorenzo Cain. He's definitely started off strong now. Should be owned in all formats, at least for the time being, and I think he's the guy that we're going to be looking at that's going to be a solid own all season long. Chris Bryant, go ahead. You got anything else?
That was it. I was going to say, like, I think he's one of those guys who, when he's hot, you'll notice it. When he's not, you're kind of like, maybe it's Denard Spanny in a way where you don't really love what he's doing. But that's ownable in all formats, I think, all season long for the most part.
Yeah. I that's a good comparison. I like that. Definitely agree with that. Chris Bryant, next guy we're going to talk about. We've talked about him a lot on this show since the start of the season, since the start of spring training. So we can keep it a little bit abbreviated, but I do definitely want to talk about Chris Bryant because he's come up from the minor leagues and he's been really good. He has just looking at it, I'll give you his up to date stats here right now. He is batting .450. He's batting .450 since he was called up. Six RBIs, four runs scored. He's kind of pounded the Pirates. Another good thing to see is five walks, five strikeouts. So he's been really good. Now he's gonna hit some bumps in the road, no doubt about it. I mean, all players do, really, even if you're a seasoned veteran. But Bryant has come up from the minor leagues and been really good. We're still waiting on that first home run, but it's coming soon. Still could happen tonight. Who knows? But what are your thoughts on Chris Bryant? Let's break this down even further. Everybody loves Chris Bryant. We know that. But let me throw some names out. Can I do that? Let me throw some names out. Position aside, we'll just talk in a bubble here. Rest of the season. I'm gonna ask: would you rather have Chris Bryant, or would you rather have Ryan Braun?
I would rather have Chris Bryant, and that's a combination of I like Bryant a lot, and I'm not a Braun guy as much as I was, you know, a few years ago. I was down on him coming into the season. Give me Bryant, I think.
Okay. Next guy. Let's compare him to another guy. Okay, How about Bryce Harper? Bryce Harper or Chris Bryant?
That's a good one. Two hype machine guys. I think I'm going to go Harper. I feel like I'm kind of a Harper apologist. I'm sort of, the last 2 years I've been waiting for the breakout. You know, I think there's a chance that Bryant could be, you know, Jose Abreu, like if we're just pie in the sky sealing it this year, in which case it'll look silly to pick Harper all over him. But I'm just going to say, I think a guy who's been in the league 3 years or so now has some really good teammates around him, not that Bryant doesn't also, but once Rendon gets back, Worth gets his feet under him, Span gets going, I think Harper has, you know, another level in him this season, and I'm still going to say that Bryant will be great, but I want to see it for sure. I think he's going to have his up and downs with that strikeout rate that he's had before.
Okay. How about, just I'll throw two more names out. How about Ian Desmond, Bryant or Ian Desmond?
I'm going to stick with Desmond, but there is the element of position scarcity a little bit that you have to factor in, and I do think that, you know, he's hitting. He hasn't fielded well. We all know that, but that doesn't really matter so much in fantasy. So I still think he's a 2020 guy this year, and at shortstop, that's going to give him the push to me over Bryant for now.
Okay, and final guy, obviously position aside. Justin Upton.
I'm going to say Upton also. I think it's – I like Bryant a ton, but I think he's still – I'm trying to place him. I think he's probably got the potential to be a top 40 guy this year, maybe 30. But I think right now, give me the Upton, even in a tough ballpark. You know, I think he's more of a lock for 28 to 30 home runs, even in that Petco. Bryant, I kind of still want to make sure that he's going to flesh this out and be really, really good before I go over Upton.
Okay, yeah. I mean, Bryant, you know, he's already a, you know, he's obviously a household name. And, you know, he may make the guys look good that drafted him in the earlier rounds, we'll say third, fourth, fifth rounds, late in the March. He may make them look smart. Because based on what we've seen so far, I don't think it's that crazy. He's already a seasoned hitter. The Cubs inserted him right into the cleanup spot for that team. I kept saying on this show, Evan Longoria's rookie year is what we should look at for Chris Bryant. Evan Longoria has had his ups and downs since his rookie year, obviously. But his rookie year was really solid. He came up kind of around the time that Bryant would have. He only missed the first couple of games of the season, maybe the first 2 weeks, and he went on and hit 27 home runs with 85 RBIs, 7 steals, and hit .272. I think that's a good barometer of what Chris Bryant can do this year. So
yeah, I think you're about on par with that, and you know. He's going to strike out, but as long as the average is reasonable, I think the 20-plus home runs is a lock, and whether he gets to 30 will be kind of a big question.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. So, Bryant, you know, if you drafted him in the early fourth round, at this point, based on what he's shown us earlier this season, it could definitely pay dividends because he's done well up to this point. So that's, you know, really what's important for fantasy owners. All right, last guy I want to talk about is Alex Rodriguez. All right, first off, before we get into the discussion on A-Rod, do you like A-Rod? Do you dislike A-Rod? Do you love A-Rod? Or do you hate A-Rod?
Is this A-Rod the person or A-Rod the fantasy performer?
This is A-Rod the... This is A-Rod, general A-Rod. You can tie it all together.
I mean, really
put you on the spot.
Overall, as a person, human being, you know, probably I'm going to say no, not really. What he did last year and how he sort of came out against lying and cheating and aggressively attacked everybody. I can't really get on board with that. I am on board with the story, the narrative, if you will, from a production and a fantasy perspective this year. He looked good in spring training. He walked as much as he struck out. The ball was jumping off his bat. It's doing that this year. I mean, I think he might be an ideal sell-high candidate for me at this point, as much as I do, as much as I am entertained by what he's done so far. I mean, he's basically the Yankees' best hitter in his age 39 season, which is kind of incredible, coming off missing all last year and most of 2013. But that said, because of those things and the injury history and the age, I just think something's going to go wrong at some point, whether the it's going to be very hot and cold, he'll be great for stretches and then terrible for other stretches, or he will have to turn in a DL stint or something. I just cannot see him maintaining this type of power over 130, 40 games. I think at some point something will go wrong.
Yeah, I hear you on that with the injuries, given his age and production drop off over the past couple of years, not to mention the suspension and all that stuff. We know all that. I like A-Rod. I do. I may be in the wrong camp, but that's a different discussion for a different day. I don't think he really. Here's kind of how I look at A-Rod. Is he a douchebag? Yeah, kinda. But did he do anything that that Major League Baseball didn't really encourage in the late 90s, early 2000s, mid 2000s? Well, I don't really think anybody can have an argument for that, because he kind of just turned a blind eye and he was their scapegoat. And if you don't agree with that, I think you're wrong. But I think that a full season off has done wonders for him. The question is whether he can stay healthy over a full year. Rest, whatever he did for the last 18 months, it seems to have rejuvenated him. And, I think he's got a really good season in him for this season. He should be owned in all formats right now. Right now he's batting .271. He's hit 4 home runs, 11 RBIs. That's what we want from A-Rod this year. .270 with 25 home runs. I mean, could you really ask for much more from A-Rod? If he stays healthy, I think you could get that out of him. But, it's really a big question on whether he actually can stay healthy. And we'll see if that happens. But, for now, as far as fantasy owners, I know a lot of people hate him, but as far as fantasy owners go, we'll just hope that he stays healthy, this season. So, kind of give our thoughts on A-Rod there. It's always a fun subject to discuss, but I'm not in the A-Rod hatred camp. He's probably not the nicest guy in the world, but if he's helping my fantasy team, we'll do that. All right, Fantasy Squads. Listen, FantasySquads.com. We have premium DFS lineups, daily fantasy sports, FanDuel and DraftKings. And I'll even say this right now, we're specializing in DraftKings. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday are the days we're doing lineups. Well, guess what? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday this past week, cashed in 50-50s with ease with our premium lineups. I'm telling you, if you sign up, it's $5. $5, you're going to get 3 lineups Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If you do 10 lineups, you're going to get Friday, Saturday, Sunday for 2 weeks, and then also Tuesday on both weeks. So that's 8 lineups for $10. If you want to turn your $25 into $45, they take a cut a little bit, but we'll say $25 into $50. If you want to double your money, you're going to want to use these cash game lineups. Are they going to cash every single day? Probably not. But 4 days in a row, with the methods that we're using, I'm telling you, it's something that you want to buy into. $5, FantasySquads.com. Click on the DFS link on the homepage and get the lineups. I email them to you. I email them out to you, personally email them to you about an hour and a half to 2 hours before the first pitch. We like to make sure we got all the lineups in case we need to make any changes. So, check it out. $5. Give us a shot. I'm telling you, you're going to like it. FantasySquads.com. Oh, yeah. If you call in right now, 347-855-8714. 347-855-8714. I'm going to give you a DFS pass this weekend. You're going to use it, and then you're going to buy in for the rest of the season because it's going to be a winner. Call in if you got questions for us, 347-855-8714. All right, let's talk about some streamer options for this weekend. We'll say Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I picked three guys out that are possible streamers. I'm not saying I like all these guys, but if you look on paper, they look like pretty good streamer options. So we'll go through them, and then I'll hit you and see if you have any options that you like as well, Jay. Clay Buchholz against Tampa tomorrow night. Tampa Bay doesn't have a really good offense. They're decent. They're okay at best. Steven Souza looks good. Of course, they have Evan Longoria. But the rest of the offense is kind of bland, kind of blah. What do you think about Buchholz tomorrow night? Before you answer, I'll just say I can't stand him. I don't like him that much. But what do you think against the matchup of the Rays tomorrow night?
You know, my initial instinct with Buchholz is always I can never trust him, stay away. I thought about it and said, like, I got to be a little bit smarter than that. You can't always go with your gut right away. I don't know that I'm – super confident in him, obviously, considering the spectrum that he can span in terms of performance. But it's really – he's actually had two pretty good – one great start, one solid start where he was hittable, and then the disaster against the Yankees where he gave up 9 runs and 2 homers and 3 1/3. The Rays offense isn't good. I looked up his numbers against Longoria, who really for me is the biggest threat. He's got a 641 OPS against Buchholz in almost 50 plate appearances in his career. So he seems to hold him down pretty well. And, by the way, Clay Buchholz's ERA is 606, but his FIP is 307. So maybe a really under-the-radar gamble. You know, if it blows up in your face, don't blame me, blame him. But it could work out.
Yeah, okay. Clay Buchholz, I mean, you know, the matchup on paper is – decent, but he's just a guy that I'm just not a big fan of in really any situation. He can just as easily go out and throw a complete game shutout as he can give up 8 runs. I mean, you really don't know. And I don't think, honestly, I mean, you could dig deep into the numbers and maybe find something out. I mean, but I just don't see this being a guy that you could trust on any matchup. I think if he's on, he's on. But if he's off, I mean, this is a guy that's probably going to have an ERA over 5 this season because he's going to be off a lot more than he's on, and he's just prone to blow-ups. You know, you might look at it and say, well, he's facing the Rays tomorrow night, not a great offense, pretty decent park to pitch in, and he might go out and do exactly what you think. But I don't know how you could trust him. Honestly, I'd put him as an AL-only option, and you're not streaming him an AL-only option. Or you're not streaming him in AL-only leagues. He's going to be owned. Should we stream him, look at him on paper? I'm voting no. What do you say?
I'm going to say yes, but cautiously. I mean, if it blows up my face, you know, so be it. I'm sort of in your camp. I dislike him, but I'm going to go 2 good starts, 1 terrible one, and hopefully that maybe it'll be 3 and then 1.
Yeah, it's just it's literally a coin flip with this guy. So
I think the other thing too about him, real quick, is if you could do daily fantasy with after the first 2 innings or so of a start, and then be like, okay, I'm going to pick this guy now. He might be good because he seems one of those guys where you don't know what he's going to have in leading up to the game, but in the start, he sort of seems to click once he's going. So unfortunately, that's not the way the game works.
I would agree. All right, next guy that I have on here, Aaron Harang, faces off against the Braves on Friday. These are 2 crap teams. Both teams stink. but, you know, this it's a good matchup for Harang, and he's actually been kind of decent this year so far. It's not going to last, I can tell you that. Once the weather gets warmer, pitching for Philadelphia, Harang is going to get knocked around probably on a weekly basis. But to this point, you know, he's thrown 18 in a third inning, giving up 4 earned runs, and also struck out 15 batters. It's pretty solid from Aaron Harang. Faces off against the Braves this weekend. You starting Harang, or are you shying away from him?
I'm going to say Probably not. I think he's safer than Buchholz. But what scares me a little bit about this matchup is that he's a very hittable guy. He always has been. 13 hits in 18 innings this year is a minute sample size, so we can't really count that. He's at 9.4 hits per nine in his career. Gave up 215 last season. And the Braves, for all the talk of their strikeouts and whiffs last year, they had the worst strikeout, worst swinging strike rate last year when they had Upton and Hayward and Gaddis and all those guys. They're now in the top six with swinging strike in terms of being good at it. So this is a team that's putting the ball in play a lot more, and I sort of feel like maybe the BABIP gods could bite Harang at some point, and the Braves might have that with their contact hitters now.
All right. Well, I agree with that. I think the BABIP gods will hit him at some point, but I don't think it'll be this weekend. I'm glad you're on the show because I like people that I can disagree with. So
right.
I'm going to disagree with you like you disagreed with me. I'm going to say start Aaron Harang this weekend against the Braves. The Braves just aren't that good. He's been decent so far. I don't think his good luck's going to catch up to him this weekend, though it could. I'm going to bet on Aaron Harang against the Braves. I think he's a decent streamer option, but here's the deal. The luck's going to run out at some point, and Harang's going to fall back to earth. He had a decent stretch last year and even finished the year for the Braves. 33 starts with a 3.57 ERA. FIP matched that, 3.57 FIP. That whip, though, is not something you want in fantasy leagues. 140 whip, and then as you mentioned, he's a very hittable guy. 9.5 hits per nine last year, 9.4 hits per nine this season, or for his career, I should say. The number's down this year, but it'll catch up to him. But I would start him on Friday against Philadelphia. All right, next guy to talk about is James Paxton against the Minnesota Twins. A lot of people are on the Paxton bandwagon in general. I won't say this season so much because he hasn't done that well, but in the past, maybe even in this preseason, Paxton was a guy that people like to look at we'll say fifth or sixth starter in fantasy leagues. What are your thoughts on Paxton overall? We'll get that first, and then do you like him against Minnesota on Saturday at home?
First off, I like him. If you were to ask me of these three pitchers, Buchholz, Harang, Paxton, which one would I target in a trade, or which one do I like more for the rest of the season? It's Paxton for me, and it's pretty. It's not really that close. I think just because I do think that the upside is there, that he could be, even an SP4 if everything clicks. That said, I'm a little bit gun shy about him coming off his last start. Against Texas, he gave up seven runs, only two earned, so he didn't really feel it too much in the ERA. But I'm sort of in the wait and see. Like, I think he'll work things out, but for right now, I'm a little bit gun shy on him.
I'm not a big time Paxton fan, to be honest with you. I think I don't want to say he's a mediocre lefty, but I think he's just above that. I think he's a little bit overhyped, and I don't know that I want to own him this weekend headed into a game against the Twins, because the Twins aren't a very good team, but they can break out for a decent game here and there, and I think Paxton's one of those guys that's kind of hittable. And it could do that. Now, I will agree with you that I like Paxton over Buchholz or Harang over a full season. But it's a matter of whether he can put it together. He made 13 starts last year, 3.04 ERA, which is what we're looking at for fantasy. He had some decent numbers last year, but he hasn't shown the ability to stay healthy over a full season, and he's gotten off to a rough start this year. So if he can get things to click, he might be a guy to target down the road. But for now, in like 12-team leagues, I'm leaving him on the waiver wire. As far as starting him against the Twins, I'm going to shy away, and I expect you to say that you're going to start him.
No, I'm going to sit him too. I'm going to stick with my gun-shy answer and say sit him for now. I will agree that he definitely is in the overhyped bandwagon for me. I don't know, maybe it was just Seattle fans. Whenever I would say I like Taijuan Walker over James Paxton on Twitter, or insinuate as much that Paxton wasn't great, it seemed like all the Mariners fans jumped down my throat. You know, and this is a guy who's 26 and he's never made more than 13 starts in a season which was last year. So I have doubts. I just think that he could have a really good stretch if he gets going.
Another thing to look at with Paxton is he owns a 3.53 ERA in the minor leagues, which is something I like to look at. I always go back and look at minor league numbers. But a lot of those good numbers came in single A and in his first seven starts in double A. Once he moved up to triple A, and that was in the PCL, so we'll give him that. But that kind of stands out to me. You know, he's had some trouble in the minor leagues. He has a 9.7 K per nine in the minor leagues. He had a 9.7 K per nine, but that hasn't translated in the major leagues yet. So I'm just not completely sold on Paxton, and I think he's overhyped, and I think he's going to disappoint fantasy owners. Is there anybody else that you like as a streamer option this weekend, Jay?
Looking at the matchups, probably Carlos Martinez is owned in most leagues. In shallow stuff, he might be out there. He goes Friday against the Brewers. Even though it's at Miller Park, Big Hitters Park, I still think I would take a shot. The Brewers have, I think, like four home runs, and their offense has been terrible. And then maybe on the flip side, guys that I might avoid, if I can throw some out at you, I would say Tyson Ross at Coors on Thursday. He's known to be a little bit worse on the road, and at Coors is a little bit dicey. And then Drew Smyly is supposed to come back Friday for the Rays and go up against the Jays, who have a good offense. Jose Reyes got back healthy. Even with Jose Bautista potentially out, I still think that I would be a wait-and-see on Smyly this week.
Yeah, I would agree with that, with Smyly. Tyson Ross is a good name to bring up. That's a good point. You know, he's been a guy that's pitched really well at Petco Park, but on the road he's been just basically average. Now I do think that this season he's going to take a big step forward. Through three starts, he's had a rough go of it, especially with the walks. He's given up walks this season. So strikeout numbers are there, 21 Ks and 17 and 2/3 innings. But, you know, that's going to correct itself. But to say that I'm a little concerned about the walks would be an understatement. So just keep that in mind with Tyson Ross. And you make a good point. You heard it on this show. He's someone to shy away from at Coors Field. Are you probably going to start him in 12-team leagues? Yeah, because of that strikeout potential. But are you going to shy away from in DFS leagues? Yeah, I think you should, because Coors Field it's a real thing. If you don't think it's real, as far as pitchers getting massacred and hitting going off, then you're crazy. You need to study it a little bit. But I think we know that. Okay, cool. We got some streamer options for you. Jay likes Buchholz. I don't. I like Kerrang. Jay doesn't. And we both dislike Paxton. And we think you should stay away from Tyson Ross this weekend. All right, let's talk about some bullpens. First off, I want to touch this one real quick. This is kind of the positive story, and then we'll get to two negatives, I guess, if you want to classify like that. The Yankees, it seems to me, if I had to guess, I would say, and I predict this on this show, that Andrew Miller is the guy, the ninth inning guy in New York. You agree with that? Is he the ninth inning guy?
You know, Girardi seems to not want to officially anoint anybody the closer. He's 5-for-5 in his saves. He's got 13 strikeouts in his first 6 1/3 innings. I think he's the closer. I think it's possible that Betances gets a few chances here and there, but I think you'd have to see Miller stumble for Betances to get that opening. And, you know, if he's going to pitch like this, Miller, he might be a top five closer this season, considering he could strike out 100 guys and save 35, 40 games. So I think he's a closer, and it's just a matter of Girardi sort of using the political game and anointing neither of them at this point.
Yeah, I like Miller. I did before the season, and I do now, and I think he's going to be the guy. You know, it's hard to say. It depends on if that velocity gets back up for Betances. For me, you know, if he can get back up into those high 90s triple digits range, you know, he may have a shot. But for now, I think that the Yankees are going to stick with Miller. Hey, if he's doing a good job in the ninth inning, you know, they're not going to change things, I don't think. So, let's see here. Next bullpen I want to talk about is Pittsburgh's bullpen. Speaking of velocity, Mark Melanson has some issues right now, and this is not what the Pirates envisioned coming into this season. But it's the reality right now. And Melanson owns a 8.53 ERA, blew a save last night, gave up three hits, two walks, three earned runs, just didn't look good. He has velocity issues. So, you know, as a Pirates fan and knowing how Clint Hurdle does things, I think that they're going to stick with Melanson. But at the same time, I think they're going to stick with him in the short term. But if he doesn't show improvement over the next couple of weeks, they're going to have to make a switch, at least temporarily. Quickly, your thoughts on Melanson. And then if he were to get pulled from the closer's role in Pittsburgh, who do you think would take over?
Yeah, I'm wondering, frankly, if he's not 100%, because his velo is down about 2 miles an hour. He's throwing, basically right at 90 for his fastballs. Cutter, which is kind of his go-to pitch, is in the high 80s, so down pretty significantly. As far as replacement, I mean, I want to say Tony Watson, who's been really, really good the last two or three years. The fact that he's a lefty is a little bit second-guessy for me, that they would go to that on a long-term basis. I don't really know that there's a better option. I mean, Jared Hughes randomly is striking guys out this year after never doing that before, so he might be another guy to keep a name on, to keep an eye on. But I think I'd probably lean Watson as a first replacement if it's something were to happen to Melanson.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll want to go with a lefty. I would probably lean towards Hughes, but you may have a good point there with Watson. It's really hard to say, to be honest with you. He has 9 strikeouts, no walks this year, Watson, we're talking about. So, Hurdle may choose to go with Watson. I think Melanson's the guy to own right this second, but I would make some stashes here. Watson, Hughes, both guys, I'd be looking to stash right now because you know, we are obviously seeing issues with Mark Melanson, and, you know, it could be a situation where they have to make a change. So we'll see what happens over the next couple of days and weeks here. All right, next bullpen to look at here is Cleveland. Oh, man, Cody Allen has looked terrible this year. Same deal, though. Francona wants to stick with him, and, he's 0-2. He does have 3 saves, so he has made a couple of saves. But he's given up 8 runs in 5 innings, 8 earned runs in 5 innings, 10 strikeouts, 6 walks. Things are going to even out a little bit for him. But boy, oh boy, the walks are a killer, he's just been so hittable this year. How close do you think the Indians are to making a change here?
I still think he has a little bit of a leash. I'm certainly worried about him, but kind of like with the Pirates, I don't know who the definite replacement is. I mean, Brian Shaw is a nice reliever. He's had a couple of good seasons, but he's not really a closer-type reliever that Allen has. I feel like Allen's stuff is way better. I think if he's got another blow-up in him, they're going to have to potentially consider removing him, getting him right. But I'm more confident in Allen than in Melanson. I don't know what that means. It might be just a gut feel, but that's my take.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I think Hurdle's pretty loyal to Melanson, and he had a good year last year, but the velocity is really concerning. Allen, I don't really know what to think about Allen, because the strikeout numbers are there. It doesn't seem to really having any velocity issues, but he just hasn't looked good. So, I don't know what to think with him this year so far, but I think both guys are going to be, as we know, on a leash at this point, but, this could be a situation where they, have to make a change at some point. So those are the two bullpens we're looking at. If you need to handcuff guys, Hughes and Watson and from Pittsburgh and Brian Shaw from Cleveland, you're in deeper leagues. Those are the guys you need to own going forward. 347-855-8714. If you want to call in, we're getting down to the latter parts of the show here, but the phone lines are still open. let's talk about some injury guys here. Let's start with a couple of catchers, Jonathan Lucroy and Travis d'Arnaud. First lesson to be learned here is just punt catcher, because especially if you're in two catcher leagues, and it's not that these guys weren't going to have good seasons. It's not that these guys won't have good seasons, but why the hell would you want to, especially in Lucroy's case, why would you want to draft a catcher in the fourth or fifth or sixth round? It's not what I want to do. I'm going to get to round 23 and take my catchers back to back. And, you know, I might not see the same production that Lucroy is going to give me if he were healthy, but he's not. He has a broken toe. But, you know, why would you want to waste a first-round pick? So hopefully this is a lesson learned to those of you that the drafted catching early. But what are your thoughts on these guys getting injured here, and what's it mean for fantasy owners?
Yeah, I think, it's hard. I think you're right. Punting catcher is a true, I feel like no catcher is doing well right now. Even Buster Posey is kind of struggling along with that offense. It's become weirdly sort of the hot hand position where you almost want to get a guy in the last two or three rounds, like a kicker in fantasy football, and if he stinks for the first week or two, you just drop him and go with the guy that, you know, hit a couple 50-yard field goals. And I think, you know, at this point, Lucroy is out until June, so maybe you try to stash him on your DL if you don't have anybody else that's taking up that spot. And d'Arnaud is probably also out until June. He was off to a nice little breakout season. I pegged him as a guy that I liked. There's not really a lot to look at. I mean, Mike Zunino might have been dropped in your league. I still think he's better than this. You know, Nick Hundley with Willen Rosario getting sent down is now basically the full-time catcher for the Rockies, and we've talked about Coors Field, obviously. I do sort of like Kevin Plawecki filling in for d'Arnaud. He'll hit. And, you know, Francisco Cervelli is another guy who seems to hit, you know, 280, 290 or so with regular playing time. So if you need some batting average help, maybe he's a good guy to look at as well.
Yeah, good info there. Kevin Plawecki from the Mets. You know, he's a decent guy to add in deeper leagues, I think. And you mentioned Willen Rosario got sent to AAA. That's no surprise to me. Two years ago, I was saying that this guy wouldn't really amount to a whole lot at the major league level because he just strikes out way too much and he has no plate discipline whatsoever. Getting sent down in 2015. I want to say that proved me right, but you know, he may come back.
So.
He may come back later this year and knock the cover off the ball. So I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but so far that looks like a pretty solid prediction. Carlos Gomez suffered a minor quad tear, slight quad tear. He got a cortisone shot. Should be back whenever his DL stint's over. Is Gomez a guy you're looking at buying now if somebody has him on the cheap or cheaper than?
Yes. Yeah, I would take a shot at it. Of course, the fact that it's a leg injury and he's basically, you know, a 30 plus steel guy or what you were expecting makes me worry a little bit, as of the fact that, again, to go back to the Brewers, they've been really bad. Their offense has been really bad. It'll get better. I don't know that it'll be good ever. I think it depends on, you know, if Gomez's owner is, you know, in the bottom half of the standings and looking to make a move for an active body. You know, I could see trading another, you know, top 50 type player who's maybe off to a better start than you expect, because I do think he will ultimately be worth it. But you know, I think if a guy doesn't need to trade him, he's not going to look to get 75 cents on the dollar for Gomez, which is probably what, if you're acquiring him, you want to pay at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky with Gomez, but I still think, you know, as long as the quad's okay, that he can run on it, you're still looking at a guy that can steal 25 to 30 bags and hit 20 home runs. The Brewers have looked absolutely terrible, I will say that. So that, you know, that may factor into it. But Gomez, if somebody's offering him to you on the cheap, He's a guy I'd be looking to acquire because sometimes even if a team's bad, and the Brewers do not look good whatsoever, but even if a team's bad, individual players can still put up solid seasons, and I think that I think that can be the case from Gomez. All right, next guy's we're going to. I lost my train of thought here. This is a guy that we don't know if he's going on the DL or not, but I read on Twitter earlier today that it's a possibility. Jose Bautista made a throw last night and did something to his shoulder, and it's a possibility here that he might hit the DL. No guarantees. He may be out a day. He may be in the lineup tomorrow. I don't know if the Blue Jays are playing tomorrow off the top of my head, but we'll say they are. Might be in the lineup tomorrow or Friday. He could hit the DL if the shoulder gives him more issues. What do you think about going after Bautista right now? Because, you look on paper, he's only batting 149.
Mm-hmm.
Four home runs, 11 walks, 12 strikeouts, 149. Now's the time to get him, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the shoulder, I'm not super worried about it. I read something in one of the Toronto papers that he actually injured it or sort of felt something in it going back to the second series of the season, so it might be slightly more worrisome than day-to-day, but I think at this point, if you can combine the pitch of he's hitting below 150 and now he's got a shoulder problem as you go after him from another owner, I think he still could hit 30 home runs, maybe even the rest of the way. And yeah, he's a guy who's got the plate discipline, he's got the approach. I don't really worry about him too much. I think he still could be a top 20 guy for sure.
Yeah, if he misses some time, somebody may panic. Injury combined with the low average, if they're not looking at the underlying numbers, it's a guy to pounce on. All right, a couple of Twitter questions and we'll get out of here. This comes from Phil M58. He asks, Leonis Martin or Odubel Herrera? Which guy do you like?
I'm going to go with Leonis. I think Herrera is more of an NL-only guy. Maybe if he starts stealing bases, he could factor into, 12 or 10-team mix. But Martin, I'm not a huge Martin fan, but he's a 30-steal type, and, I think the average will come up, and he's got, potential to hit 10 to 12 home runs as well. So it's Martin for me.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, Herrera plays for a crappy team. And,
right.
The Rangers – the Rangers aren't great, but I obviously like Martin a lot more than I do Herrera. So that's kind of a no-brainer for me. Let me see if we have any other. Here's another one. This comes from at Tony Ivy. He asks, my Victor Martinez and Jock Peterson for Jose Bautista in a 12-team Roto league. He has three people coming off the DL, and he needs to make space without dropping any good players. What do you think, V-Mart and Jock Peterson for Jose Bautista?
Give me the specs on the league again.
It's a 12-team roto, but he has three outfielders, and he has a couple of guys coming off the DL, so he wants to make space without having to drop good players. He didn't say who was coming off the DL,
mm-hmm.
but we'll assume that they're good players.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm okay with that. It's a steep price, I think, because I do like Peterson. He's gotten off to a good start. I do think he could hit, be a potential 2020 guy. I'm also a little bit worried about Martinez, to tell you the truth. He was career year last year, had the knee surgery. He's still feeling some sort of soreness there. I feel like it's sort of selling high on Martinez, even though he's not been great, maybe off of last year, and hoping that the other owner likes Peterson a lot enough to give up a potential top 20 guy or so in Bautista. So I would say yes, a hesitant yes, but yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say a hesitant no here. I'm a big Victor Martinez fan. I know he's coming off the knee issue, but I think as the season goes on, we're going to see good numbers out of him. Jock Peterson's a guy that even though I expect him to hit for a low average, he could give that coveted 20-20 number. And that may be a little high, but I think he can at least go 15-20 this year. And that's not something I really want to give away. Now, Bautista's an elite player. He's a top 10 player. So he's a top 15 player, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Top 15 player. But for me, I would probably, maybe this is a gut feeling, I would probably shy away a little bit, but if you make the deal, it's not a bad deal. It's not a bad deal. But I would probably shy away a little bit, only probably if I'm disagreeing with you, Jason, because I believe in Victor Martinez a little bit more than you do, I would say.
And I think I'll just add that I think depending on who the second player, quote-unquote, that he would be getting, and meaning who he would be inserting into his lineup by trading the two-for-one, that's obviously a big factor, too, that we kind of don't know. So if it's a good player, I think it's more worthwhile. If it's a scrubby-type guy who you don't necessarily trust all season, then I would be probably more on your side of the fence.
Final question. This comes from at Nico Dog G, Nico Dog PSP. He asks, hi, Dave. When do you think Rusty Castillo will come up, and do you think he'll still make a sizable contribution to be a top 40 outfielder? What do you say about that? Rusty Castillo, top 40 outfielder for the rest of the season once he gets to the show here?
That's I want to say yes. I do like him. I liked him coming into the season. He got hurt in spring training, was obviously then sent to AAA. He's battling a shoulder injury from the first week of the season in AAA, too, right now. So he might not be up anytime really soon. And I think it's a matter of – I almost feel like it's a matter of one of the Red Sox outfielders currently there, whether it's a Victorino or a Ramirez or even a Betts, needs to either get hurt, which is probably the more likely opening, or really struggle before we see Castillo. So I'm hesitant at this point. I think he could do it, but I'm not necessarily stashing him unless it's – you know, a 12 or a 14 team league, and my confidence is waning as he still cannot stay healthy.
Yeah, I'm not going to peg him as a top 40 outfielder. I mean, he could, but it'd be right on the bubble. He's not a guy I'm really targeting. He's not a guy I'm really thinking a whole lot about. He needs to stay healthy, as you mentioned, and he hasn't shown the ability to do so. So, you know, with Victorino, I believe Victorino left the game tonight. So, you know, we may see Castillo at some point here. But Victorino left the game with hamstring tightness. No surprise there. But
yeah, that's been a problem for him.
yeah, his whole career. So, you know, no surprise there with Victorino. But at the same time, I mean, I can't say that I'm completely sold on Rusty Castillo. So there's our answer for that one. All right, well, that concludes the show. Plenty of good topics talked about. I want to thank Jason Catania from BleacherReport.com for joining me tonight. Before you get out of here, Jason, go ahead and plug anything you got and how to follow you on Twitter, and I'll sign us off.
Sure thing. Well, every Monday I've got the waiver wire column that I do up, guys owned in 50% of leagues or less. That I write up that have been hot, or guys that are, you know, maybe on the come, or prospects that we should be eyeing. You know, I wrote about Carlos Rodon this past week, Steven Souza, guys like that. That's every Monday in the AM, and then every Friday in the AM is my buy low, sell high. So I'm working on that now. I may consider talking about some of the guys we discussed. And, of course, I always tweet out all my links at jcat11 on Twitter.
All right, sounds good. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at AskRotoBaseball. Check out FantasySquads.com and head over there and buy yourself a DFS pass for this weekend. We're going to win you some money. Jay, I appreciate you joining me tonight, and hope to have you on later this season and talk some more fantasy baseball with you. So. For Jason Catania from BleacherReport.com, my name is David Kerr, FantasySquads.com, at AskRotoBaseball on Twitter. Have a good night. We'll see you next week, everybody. Yo, girl, just kiss the girl. I do buy. Shake for a shake. I'm throwing these Emirates in the sky. Spinning this pasta, llama, make them piece of M-O-N-E-Y. I love my beaches, south beaches, surf, board, and high tide. I can just roll up, because I swole up. So that birthday cake get the Cobra. Bugatti for real, I'm Cobra. The autobiography Rover. Got the key to my city, it's over. No stops, only in the color Cobras. I said rackets, wretched, hold up. I said rackets, wretched, hold up. I know you can't meditate. If you're afraid, then you come out with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now bust it open, let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.